Welcome to Mount Olive First Pentecostal Holiness Church. Thank you for connecting with us. In just a moment, Pastor Jeff will be sharing an uplifting and encouraging message that we pray will inspire you in your walk with God. Our desire at MOF PHC is for you and your family to find hope in Jesus Christ so that He will transform your life. Thanks again for connecting with us. Please contact us if we can help you discover God's purpose for your life. Enjoy the message.
Well, I want to just take a few minutes this morning and talk to you. You know, just walking up and down the altar here during that prayer time, seeing tears come from different ones' eyes, and you could, you know, really hear the tears through the prayers that many of you were praying around this altar just a few minutes ago. It just really affirms to me what I believe God would want to say to us about trusting Him when life makes no sense. That's what I want to just take a few minutes and talk to you about. Trusting God when life makes no sense. Have any of y'all ever been in a situation where it didn't make sense? Come on, I think we all have. And we've been reminded this morning through our wonderful choir here about trusting God, especially when life makes no sense. Sometimes we walk through those things that we just don't have an answer for. We don't understand it. It don't make sense. Sometimes in life, things get blurry. You know, things are getting blurry for me, really, in my eyes. Seems like when I turn 40, does anybody know what I'm talking about? You just, things get blurry. And next thing you know, you're walking around and you got a pair of these in every room and every car. Things get blurry. But that's not the blurry I'm talking about. Sometimes in life, things get blurry. Sometimes in life, we can't always see what's happening in front of us. I mean, it's right there, but we can't see what's happening in front of us. It reminds me, I was reading some information about how the athletes, how they train for certain events and how they trust in their training. And I came across the story that I read about Michael Phelps. You can put that picture up there of Michael Phelps. Any of y'all know who that is? He's the Olympic gold medalist swimmer. This dude right here has got 28 medals in swimming, and 23 or something like that are all gold medals. But what was fascinating about Michael Phelps is his trainer. That when Michael Phelps was training for the Olympics several times, that his trainer would sabotage Michael's equipment, and Michael wouldn't know it. He would take and poke holes in his goggles. And when Michael would get in the pool swimming, the water would start coming and seeping in through those holes in his goggles. And to make matters worse, the trainer would then turn the lights out in the place where the swimming pool was at. So water was filling in his goggles, and then the lights went out. And his vision was blurred, and it eventually became dark because the lights went out where the pool was at. And that's how his trainer would train him at times. Then what happened was in the Beijing Olympics, Michael Phelps is there to compete for the gold medal, and he's there on the starting block representing the United States of America about to swim, and he dives off as the others do into the water, and when he dives off into the water, something happens with his goggles. He tells it, he's not sure if it breaks loose at the bottom or the top, but moisture starts to come in his goggles. This is for the Olympic gold. And so he's going and swimming, and he's going down and back and going back and forth. And as he goes, the moisture intensifies, and eventually water starts filling up his goggles. And he says it went from a blurred vision to seeing nothing at all while he's swimming for the gold medal. And the training kicked in that he had trusted in, where he remembered when the pool went dark and when the goggles had the holes poked in, he remembered that he would just go in the dark and he would count the strokes and he would know which how many strokes it took to get to the end of the pool. So at the very last leg of the Olympics going for the gold, his goggles are full of water. He can't see. His vision is blurred. It's pretty much dark. And all he's doing is counting the swim strokes that he's making. And all he can do is hear the crowd cheering. And he don't know whether they're cheering for him or cheering for somebody else. And when his hand touches that wall and he comes up out of the water, he looks up and beside his name is WR. He broke the world record. Amen. He broke the world record and represented our country, received a gold medal, but he trusted in his training. And we as Christians, we don't trust in training, we trust in God. And when life is blurry, when your goggles start to fill up with water and you can't really see and things don't make sense, we have to trust God. We have to trust God. We have to trust God when we're going through life and things don't make sense and things are blurry to us. And I want to talk to you this morning about someone who trusted God when things got blurry and bad in his life. If you have your Bibles, I want you to open up. It's just two verses. I want you to open up to Genesis chapter 50. Genesis chapter 50, verse 19 through 20. You can go back later and read the entire chapter of Genesis 50, but right now I want to just focus in on verse 19 and verse 20. This is about a man named Joseph. Joseph, his vision became blurry in life for a lot of different reasons. He couldn't see for a lot of different reasons. In Genesis chapter 50, you're really at the end of the story of Joseph's life. Joseph is, he's sort of like J.D. Vance right now, the vice president of the United States. Joseph is like the vice president, but not of the United States. He's like the vice president of Egypt. He's come into power. He's like the vice president. He has power in that nation. And there he is serving as the vice president, if you will, of Egypt. And we're at the end of his life now. And his family has come to him, his brothers, his father. They've all come from their land to Egypt. And the reason why is because there was a famine in the land. And they were looking food. And they came, the brothers came, the father came. They were reunited together. And then even right here, Joseph's father, Jacob, has died. His father has died. And now his brothers, who did Joseph wrong years back, I mean, they did him nasty now. They're worried and they're fearful for their life because now that their daddy is gone and he's passed on, now they're worried that Joseph is going to pay them back for how they treated him in the past. So right here at the end of Genesis, the brothers are coming to Joseph and reminding him, don't forget what daddy said now. Don't you forget what daddy said. Daddy said, you forgive us. And they're asking for forgiveness again. And the reason why is because they're afraid for their lives. And this is what Joseph says to them. This is what Joseph says to them in Genesis 50, verse 19 through 20. He's at the end of his life. He's looking back over everything that he's been through. And he says to them, his brothers, he says, don't be afraid. Am I in the place of God? You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. You listen, don't be afraid, brothers, because am I in the place of God? In other words, am I God? No. You intended to harm me, but God has taken this thing and he's turned it for good. And the reason why he did it was so he could save many people, save many lives. And it just encourages me, and it should encourage all of you here this morning, that no matter what you're walking through in your life, you can trust the Lord when it makes no sense. You can trust the Lord when it makes no sense. My sister, my brother, Listen to me this morning. You can trust the Lord when it makes no sense at all. You can trust the Lord when the water starts coming in the goggles. You can trust the Lord in every situation in your life, the good and the bad and the ugly. You can trust the Lord in those times. That was Joseph's testimony. Joseph has a powerful testimony, and it kind of reminds me of like a movie. You know, sometimes on Friday nights, if we don't have much going on, me and Lisa get wild and crazy at the house. We'll turn the lights off in the living room and we'll put on some old Andy Griffith. And this is what I love about some of these older shows. You can go back and you can watch the old shows that you kind of grew up watching, and you can watch the different seasons. They're broke down in seasons. Well, that's kind of how Joseph's life is. His life is in like these seasons. You're going back and you're watching this powerful testimony, and you see season one. And season one, Joseph is this young 17-year-old boy, and he's got the world in front of him. He's 17 years old, and he's got the world in front of him. But instead of having the world in front of him, he finds himself in a pit. He's actually in a pit. And the reason why he's in that pit is because his brothers, which were many brothers, they hated him and they were jealous of him. And one of the reasons why was because Joseph's father, Jacob, he showed favoritism to Joseph over the other brothers. He did things to show that he was the favorite. He poured out a lot of blessings over Joseph's life instead of over the other brothers. And the favoritism that Joseph had, it created a jealousy and a hatred from his brothers. And then on top of that, Joseph starts having these God dreams. And he's dreaming that one day that he is going to be in authority, and eventually his brothers and his father are going to bow down to him. Now, as you can imagine, that probably didn't go over too well with the brothers, because what happened is Joseph starts sharing this dream. He's telling his brothers. He's telling them, "You're going to bow down to me." And that hatred rises up in them. The bitterness toward their brother rises up in them. And then one day they're out, I guess maybe they're working. Maybe they were lollygagging a little bit as brothers. And Joseph is sent out to look for his brothers, and they see Joseph coming in the distance. They see him coming in the distance, and they think, man, here is our chance right here to take this dude out, to take this dreamer out. And they come up with a plan to kill their brother. Now, how many of you know your family might be dysfunctional if you're planning on killing your brother? And he had a plan to take, the brothers had a plan to kill this brother Joseph. And they decided to kill him, but one of them had a change of heart, and he said, no, let's don't kill him. There's an empty pit over here, and let's just throw him in the pit. So they took Joseph and they threw him in the pit. And then all of a sudden they see a caravan of people coming through that are headed to Egypt, and they decide, you know what, let's do something better. Let's make some money off of Joseph and let's sell him to these people that are in this caravan, and they sell him as a slave. So Joseph goes from the pit to a possession. And you think, when you read this passage here and read it in its context, what in the world is going on? Because Joseph is blessed by God. He's favored by God. He's been given a dream that he's going to do great things. He's got a God purpose in his life. And right here in this moment, he finds himself in a pit, and now he's sold into slavery. And I'm sure Joseph had to be wondering, God, I'm just asking, I can't see right now. I don't know what's happening, but what are you doing? What in the world is going on in my life? Because none of this is making sense. How in the world did I get here? I had a promise from you. I have a purpose from you. And here I am in a pit. How in the world did I end up here? And I wonder this morning how many of you are here watching or even on the live stream, if you're here today on campus and you wonder the same thing. What in the world is going on? I mean, God has given me a promise. God has given me a purpose. And all I can tell you is right now is I feel like I'm in a pit in my life and I don't understand why I'm here and I don't understand how I got here. Because nothing is making sense. And that was where Joseph was. And we have to learn to trust the Lord when things make no sense. That is the end of season one. And then we go into season two. You go into this new season, and there's a lot of episodes here in this season that are crazy. But Joseph is now, he's like 20-something years old, and he's a slave in Egypt, and he's a slave to Potiphar, who was a high-ranking official in Egypt. And he takes over Potiphar's house and begins to be in charge, because the Bible says that everything Joseph does is blessed and it succeeds. I mean, he's doing good. He's there in Egypt. I know he's a slave, but he's doing good. He's over Potiphar's house, and everything is going great as a slave until Potiphar's wife shows up. And she tries to lure him into having an affair with him. And time after time, this woman, this wicked woman, she tried to lure Joseph to bed, and Joseph kept saying no. And finally, one day, out of just an act of desperation, she makes another pass at Joseph. And Joseph does like what every man of God should do, put on a good pair of tennis shoes and run. Yeah, put on some shoes and run. And he ran from this woman who was trying to lure him into an affair. This woman was crazy. She lied. She accused Joseph of sexually assaulting her. And because of who she is, they believe her. They believe her, and they believe her accusations. And Joseph is put in prison. I mean, think about this for just a minute. Episode or season one, he is in a pit. We go into season two, and now he's in a prison. And now we go into season three. And in season three, another couple of years go by, and now Joseph is in prison. He's detained. He's doubting, he's discouraged, he's depressed. But even while he's in prison, the Bible says that he prospers, he succeeds, so much so that they actually put Joseph in charge of the prison. The warden says, I don't know who he is, but put him in charge. And while he's in prison, he meets two fellows. One is a cupbearer and one is the baker. And the cupbearer comes, and they both have this dream, and the cupbearer comes to Joseph, and Joseph tells him the dream. He says, cupbearer, here's what your dream means, and listen, you're going to be okay. You're going to be restored. Everything's going to be okay for you. And then the baker hears that, and is like, oh, tell me my dream. And he says to the baker, you've baked your last cake, buddy. Your baking days are over, because they're going to hang you. And then Joseph says to the cupbearer, I need you to do me one favor. Please do me one favor. When you leave this prison, when you're released, would you please do me a favor and just remember me? Please remember me. And the cupbearer forgets Joseph. The people this man helped forgot him. The people this man went above and beyond to be a blessing to, they forgot him. And he was forgotten in prison. And now we go to season four. Season four, the final season. Think about this. Picture this with me. A beautiful sunny morning. No ice. No snow. A beautiful sunny morning in Egypt. Crowds of people gathered around, playing music out there, the officials around are riding on these big white stallion horses. And there's a palace there, and out on the balcony of that palace is the king of Egypt, Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. And standing beside him is probably the most powerful man in the nation, and it's Joseph. Joseph is standing beside Pharaoh as the most powerful man among the nation. And the reason why he is there, from a pit, from a possession to a prison, now to a power, a palace of power, the reason how he got there is because, you remember, Pharaoh had a dream. And he probably must have ate some Chinese food the night before. He dreamed about some cows, some fat cows and some skinny cows. He dreamed about some grain. And I'm sure you've probably read it before, and you know Pharaoh couldn't interpret the dream. Nobody that worked for Pharaoh could interpret the dream. And finally, the cupbearer says, "Hey, wait a minute. There's a guy in prison. He's a Hebrew, and he told me my dream, and my dream came. He interpreted my dream, and he told the baker his dream, and his dream came true too. So Pharaoh said, go get him and bring him here." And so Joseph is brought out of prison, and he tells Pharaoh that there's about to be a famine that's going to come on the land, and it's going to come in 7 years. And Pharaoh believes Joseph and then puts him in charge of the land, really all the land, but to handle the famine. And what happens is Joseph ends up saving the Egyptians, and Joseph ends up saving his own people, the Jewish people, God's people. And that is a powerful testimony that ends season 4. But I love it because it's almost like the movie The Titanic. There's just you know, those scenes in there that the ladies really love. And right here at the very end of season 4, in this episode, Joseph is at the end of his life, and he's looking over his life and everything that he's been through, and he's staring at some people that have hurt him in the past. And he says to them, "Don't be afraid. Am I in the place of God? You intended to harm me, but God." Amen. "But God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives." He said, this is what Joseph was saying, "Don't be afraid, because here's what I've learned through everything that I've been through in my life. From the time I went into the pit, from the time that I was sold as a possession, from the time that I was falsely accused and put in a prison, I've learned through all of that that I am not God." He says, "I am not in the place of God." There are going to be things, he says, and we could say the same. There's going to be things that we don't know and we don't understand in life. There's going to be things that we go through that make no sense to us when we're going through those things in our life. How things were when you were raised as a child, and the things that maybe you had to go through. I know there's some things that I had to process and deal with that I didn't never understand, and I know it felt unfair and unjust. Shouldn't have never happened. It shouldn't have never went that way. But when you look back, you gotta say, "I'm not God, but God is working in this situation. He's working in this situation, and there's things I don't understand, and there's things that I don't comprehend, and there's things that don't make sense, and there's things that are way out of my control. It's not my fault. I had nothing to do with it. It is out of my control, and the reason why is because I'm not God." Newsflash, you're not God. I'm not God. There's going to be things in your life that you don't understand. There's going to be things that are going to be out of your control. But you got to have the same heart that Joseph had and say, "You know what? I'm not going to be afraid. I'm not in the place of God. I'm not God. What's been intended to harm me, God's going to turn it around and use it for his glory to accomplish a great purpose. Hallelujah. And you might be here this morning, and I mean, with a crowd this size, I would say there's people here this morning, and that, you know, whatever, spiritually, emotionally, mentally, physically, you are in a pit. You are in a pit. You may be in some kind of spiritual chain this morning. Maybe you've been falsely accused, or maybe at some point in your life, you have felt what it feels like to be abandoned by people. And you may be questioning God, like, where are you? How in the world can I receive a promise and know I have a purpose in my life? How in the world have I ended up where I am right now? I don't understand it. Things have got blurry. For whatever reason, the things that I've had to go through in my life, the situations, water has come in the goggles, and now I can't really see and make it out. But I want to encourage you this morning that even when you can't see God working, God is working. Come on. Even when you can't see, when things get blurry and the water starts coming in and things get dark in the pool, you just need to know that God is working and you can trust him. You can trust him. Just follow with me real quick and we're going to pray. God is always working, and he's working in you. He's working in you. Even in the pit, even in the prison, even when people hurt you, even when people forget you, no matter what you're walking through, you can trust that God is working in you. God took all of Joseph, everything that he went through, everything that Joseph went through in life to work out his purpose. It reminds me, really, Genesis 50 is really, in the New Testament, Romans 8:28. What you intended to harm, God turned it into good for his purpose. And in Romans 8:28 is that God, he's working all things for the good for those that love him according to his purpose. So you can hang on to that promise. So no matter what, God is working in you. He's working in every situation to make you the person that he wants you to be. And he's working in you to make you more and more like Jesus Christ. And can I just say this right here, please? I say it with all love. Instead of grumbling, instead of griping, instead of being mad with the situation you're in and being upset about the circumstances that are in your life, can you just stop all that and just begin to pray, Lord, I know you're working, and would you just keep working in me? Amen. Keep working in me. You know how God, hey, go ahead, amen. God is working in you in a lot of different ways. God is working in you to purify you. God is working in you. You'll go through things in your life, and he'll show you, hey, you have not arrived yet. And he'll begin to reveal some things to you that will begin to purify you, to cleanse you from unrighteous things or things that are not pleasing to him. He's working in you to humble you. Joseph said, hey, I'm not in the place of God. That sounds like a man who's humble now. And that's what God will do. He will humble you. You may be going through something that you don't understand why you're going through it. Things are blurry. Could it be that God is working in you humility? Where you get to a place in your life where, you know what, it's not about me no more. It's about you, God. May you increase and may I decrease. My desire is, God, that I would be nothing and you would be everything. Maybe God is working in you to do that. He's working in us to humble us. He's working in us to teach you. How many of you could declare today that God has taught you some things through the school of hard knocks? We seem to learn a lot through the school of hard knocks. I can testify today that I've learned some things. He's taught me some things. Working in me, he's taught me some things through some of the most difficult seasons of my life and for the life of my family. We learn, listen to me, we learn more in the classroom of pain than we do pleasure. It almost goes back to that saying, no pain, no gain. We learn more in the classroom of pain than we do in the classroom of pleasure. I know for me, in the classroom of pain, the Lord working in me has taught me to have a stronger faith in Him, to believe Him. It reminds me of what James said. James said this right here. He says, I count it all joy, the testing of my faith, because it leads to perseverance. Think about that testimony. I count it all joy for all the junk that I'm going through in my life. Really? Yeah. Because by the testing of my faith, it's building up perseverance in me. So I don't give up and I don't quit. God is always working in you. He's working in you this morning for you to have more perseverance, more faith, more love, more grace. Oh, Lord. He's working in you to teach you to have more patience. Those lessons are not fun, are they? God is also working in you to prepare you. Think about Joseph. He worked in Joseph's life to prepare him. He worked in Joseph's life to do a great work. Think about Jesus' life, how Almighty God sent His Son Jesus and the seasons of suffering that Jesus went through with persecution and rejection. He came to His own and His own received Him not. He went through some classrooms of pain in His life, but it was for the greatest purpose of all, and that was to go to the cross and give His life and shed His blood so our sins could be forgiven. Hallelujah. Aren't you thankful that Jesus was willing to do that for you and for me? God is always working in you to work out His purpose. He's preparing you. Ma'am, sir, what you're walking through right now, the goggles may be full of water. It may be blurry. You may can't see and figure out why it's happening, but can I just tell you, trust God that He's working out His purpose in you and through you. God is always working in you, and God is always working around you. He's always working around you. I've heard this said right here. God is doing 10 million things around you, and you know about two of them. God is doing 10 million things around you, and you know about two of them. God, think about this. Think about this. God knew there was a famine that was going to come on the land. God knew that around them there was going to be a famine. And listen to this. God's doing 10 million things while we only know about two of them. And while He knows the famine is coming, He gives Pharaoh a Chinese food dream. And he dreams about seven cows, fat cows, skinny cows, and then the grain. And he has this dream, but nobody can figure it out. But it just so happens there's a Hebrew boy sitting in a prison right next to the palace. So it just so happens that the cupbearer, hey, ding, 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 ding. I remember there's a guy in prison. The Lord's doing 10 million things around us. And he brings Joseph out of the prison, and Joseph comes and tells Pharaoh the dream. And in that moment, God makes Joseph the most powerful person in the land. How? Because God is always working around us. Hallelujah. Thank God He's always working around us. All we can see is the two things, and the Lord is doing 10 million things. We see the bits and pieces, and the Lord sees the big picture. And so you need to know today, friend, whatever it is that you're going through and everything that you see, that doesn't mean that's how it's going to be. God, He's doing 10 million things, and His timing is not our timing. His timing is perfect. Amen. God is working around you. I'm almost there. God is working not only around you, but God is working through you. God is always working through you. Think about Joseph. God's will, he worked in Joseph and through Joseph so His will would be accomplished and that God would get all the glory. God worked through Joseph for the saving of many people. God is working through you. Listen to me. Please don't miss this. God is working through you to reach many people. God is working through you. Listen, I was so encouraged even last night coming in this morning. I've had several people that come to church here say, man, guess what? I've been inviting somebody to church and they're supposed to come today. I've heard that from two or three of you. I say praise the Lord because, listen, God is working through you to reach many people, to help many people, to serve many people, to bless many people, so many people can be saved. God wants to work through you in every situation. You can trust Him that no matter what you're going through, He's going to work through you by speaking through you, by shining through you, by using your testimony. God is always working through you. How many of you want God to work through you? Come on, every hand in here better go up, or I'm putting this crowd on you right now. God is always working through you. Pastor Kevin, if you guys want to get ready, we'll make them think that we're stopping. God is always working through you, and I want to just finish with this. God is always working for you. The Bible says, if God be for us, who can be against us? If God is for, He is for you. Listen, people were saved through Joseph because God was for him. Wait a minute. God was for Joseph? He was for him because if He was for him, why would he be in a pit? And why would he be a possession? And why would he be in prison? How was God for him? Friend, I can't explain it. I don't understand why you're on the road that you're on right now. I don't know why you're going through what you're going through. I don't know why Joseph. All I know is that in those moments, God is teaching you and preparing you and humbling you so He can use you for His purpose. Listen, it's greater than you. It's greater than you. What He's wanting to do in your life is greater than you. And the reason why is because He's for you. You know how I know God is for you? The reason I know God is for you is because He sent His Son for you. He sent His Son for you to die on a cross, to shed His blood, to be crucified, to be buried, and on the third day be raised back to life. That's how I know God is for you. Listen, I don't know why and how you ended up in a pit. I don't know how and why you ended up as a possession in captivity to something. I know there was a while in my life, I know I was in chains and being held captive by some substance abuse. But I can tell you this right here. Jesus, He's for you to save you, and He's for you to set you free. Yes. Yes. He's for you to set you free, and not only is He for you to set you free, He's for you to fill you with His Holy Spirit. He's for you to heal you. God is always working because He's for you. He's for you. Come on, say it. He is for me. He is for me. He is always working for me. He's working in me and around me and through me and for me. And you might be here today, friend, and I go back to it again. Your vision, your life is blurry right now because for whatever reason, the goggles have filled up with water. And you just can't see what's in front of you and you can't make sense of it. But all I can say to you today, I really feel like God just wants to say, you know what? When nothing makes sense, you just have to trust God. You just have to trust God. Meredith, she posted something yesterday on, I think it was maybe Instagram. It had to be because that's about the only thing I ever look at every once in a while. And it blessed my heart because it says that as Christians, we're not called to figure it out. We're called just to trust God. We're called just to trust God. And you're not called to figure it out. You just don't know. You don't understand. You're not in control. All you can do is trust God. Yes. Trust God. Yes. Would you do me a favor? Would you all just bow your heads right now, please? Nobody looking around. And please, Holy Spirit, speak to every heart here. Praise your name, Jesus. Praise your name. Jesus, speak to every heart. Nobody looking around. Friend, listen to me, please. If you're here this morning and there's a season, there's an episode in your life right now, like Joseph, where maybe you, I don't know how I ended up here. I don't know. I don't understand it. I have fell into a place where I just can't get out of it anymore. I feel like I'm in some sort of chain, Lord, that is holding me back. There's been times in my life where people have abandoned me and forgot me. And those times have hurt me. They have hurt me and broken me. And I'm tired of being in chains from it, Lord. I'm tired of being in this pit, and I want to be free. And I just confess to you today that I am not God. We are not God. And I'm putting my hope in you and my faith in you because I know that you're doing 10 million things around me. And I only can see just a couple of them. But I know you love me. I know you're for me. I know you're working in me and through me and all around me. So today I'm asking you, please, Lord, please help me to trust you when nothing makes sense. Help me to trust you, Lord, in all situations. Friend, listen, if you're here this morning, and your goggles have filled up with water and things are blurry and don't make sense and you can't really see what's in front of you, you can't make it out, and you need prayer, would you just do me a favor right there where you are? Would you raise your hand and say, that's me, that's me. God bless you, sir. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Put your hand down. Would you all stand with me, please? If you're here this morning, we got plenty of time. We got plenty of time. If you're here this morning and you need the Lord, you need the Lord to help you. You want to have more of a trust in Him because of what you're walking through right now. And you need God to work for you. You got something you need God to do for you, and you want God to do something in you and through you. I want you to do me a favor. In just a minute, I'm going to call you forward. I want you to come so I can pray with you. But if there's anybody here and you've never received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, let me just say, friend, it's the most important decision you'll ever make in your life. And there's no pit deep enough. There's no chain strong enough that Jesus can't break you and set you free out of it. He can save your soul. He can forgive you of your sins. And you'll just say, Lord, I admit to you I'm a sinner. I repent of my sin today. I receive you by faith to be my Savior, to be my Lord. You took my place on the cross. You shed your blood to wash away my sins, to forgive my sins. You were buried on the third day. You were raised to life. And because you're my living Lord, I will live forever too. And right there where you are, you can just by faith receive Christ. Receive Christ. Do it, friend. Do it. Do it. Receive Him right now. Repent of your sins. Repent of your sins and receive Jesus. Let Him save you. Let Him wash you. Let Him purify you. Let Him change your life. He has a purpose for you. He's got a promise for you.
Yes.
I pray you'll just be receptive to that. And make that decision today. And let somebody know. Let somebody know. Don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed of the gospel. In fact, before you leave today, come tell me or tell one of our pastors or anybody around you that you've made that decision that you're going to follow Christ. Here's what I want you to do. I'm going to be the first one to come to the altar because I'm going to let you know right now, I need the Lord to do a work in me, and I need the Lord to do a work for me. And so if you're here this morning and you have that same desire that I'm going to trust you, God, and I need you to do something in me and do something for me, I want you to just step out right there where you are and come and join me right here at the altar. Thank you for your obedience. Thank you for your obedience. Thank you for your obedience.
A declaration for your life right now that you're going to trust God. You're going to trust God and you're going to believe Him for great things. So let's pray and let's make this song a prayer. Come